Hello, welcome to the catch up. The major takeaway from today is mostly for the fellas. If you are a man, put some sunscreen on your knackers this weekend.
No. Put underwear on.
All that.
No. That's it. That's all we need to say.
Get a workmate, a close relative, or a trusted confidant to slather SPF 50 all over your Jats crackers.
Sure, you can do your own slip, slop, slap. Hey, the other thing we found out this morning was how good is jail?
It's
oh
awesome.
My God. There are a couple of negative comments, but by and large, it seems like a country club in there.
Okay, can we just let's be very clear about this. The people that rang that thought jail sucked were the people that had been inside.
Except the people, for the bloke.
Some of the warders said it was easy.
The bloke who'd been inside said the best thing about jail is taking a number two and watching the telly.
Why doesn't everyone have a TV in their toilet?
No. Just
never
you,
Marto.
Awkward, bloody oath.
And our friend Bobby Shreepin called in too.
Yes, he
was in
did.
Fine
the PM
form.
Rich Uncle Mal addresses the bonk ban as well. It's all happening on the catch up. Have a wonderful weekend and enjoy it.
Look at the front page of today's Courier Mail and every paper around the country. Totally bonkers is what they're calling it. Ministers ordered to keep their pants on with staffers. Appalled Mal demands Barnaby consider position. Yes, we're talking about the Barnaby Joyce debacle that continues. And this is what our Prime Minister actually said yesterday about this.
Ministers, regardless of whether they are married or single, must not engage in sexual relations with their staff. Doing so will constitute a breach of the standards.
I believe he wants to take it a little bit further. And here he is, our Prime Minister, Rich Uncle Mal. Morning, sir.
Good morning to you. And like I said, it is a breach of the standards. If there's any form of sexual relation between a member of parliament, be it a House of Representative member or the Senate, with a member of their staff, and that means heavy petting, touching, stroking, kneading, probing, licking, touching, anything.
Okay, we get it. How are you going to actually do that? Anyway, okay, do you think
I'll be watching very closely. I'll have CCTV footage in every room, and I'll have 256 screens just up there watching all the time. Christopher Pine will be helping me. And, of course, there will be occasional spot checks of underwear to see if there's any stains, leakage or carry-on.
No, we can't.
Of course, and they're all a bunch of nerds, dweebs and uncos who finally get up here and it's like Hollywood for the ugly, like Sam Dastyari said. They're all over one another. They're all a bunch of perverts. Once I saw Corey Bernardi buy a strap-on in Fishwick, Jenny Macklin bought a stick book at a BP in Yass. Eric Abetz, I've seen him come out of Woolies with a tube of lube and a couple of root vegetables more than once.
Sir,
have now, I broken some codes?
No, sir. No, you're the Prime Minister. You make the standard, sir. Now, you did
I'm
seem...
I'm setting a high standard, Marto, too.
Yes, I know, but last night, it's a different... You're upbeat this morning, but last night you seemed terribly upset when you were talking about Barnaby. You're on the verge of tears.
Well, I'm upset for his wife and his children, of course, because I'm a devout Catholic. I hate to see a marriage ruined. But also, Barnaby makes me furious. The way he gets around in that a Cobra, pretends to be a farmer. He's not a farmer. He's an accountant. And, you know, do you want to be a farmer? Farmer wants a wife. Well, you didn't want one. You want a divorce, mate. You want to stump somebody in your office. You're an imbecile. I mean, get on a tractor. If you want to be a farmer, drive around in a lightning strike. I don't know. It just makes me very angry. But I put a kibosh on sex. There will be no more crossing the floor, no more stuffing the ballot box, and no more pounding on the doors of the lower chamber with the usher of the black rod. Who doesn't like saying that? And no more double dissolution either, which means getting nude into a jacuzzi. Lucy knows all about that, I'll tell you.
I bet she does. Okay, that's enough.
Thank you, sir. I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
Barna, good on you. You're good constituents and great guys. Good on you, Moon Man. Where are you? But...
you know, Wednesday morning was a cold, hot day on Wednesday, and I went out and took all the smoko out to a few of the work sites around Brizzy.
You loved it.
Oh, yeah, you love it.
It's your natural environment, isn't it?
Oh, it was so good not to be working.
Triple M News. The PM's announced a new code of conduct for police off the back of the Barnaby Joyce saga, with ministers now banned from having sex with staff. Mr Joyce will take leave next week following a week of headlines over his affair. Malcolm Turnbull has again resisted calls for him to ask his deputy to step down.
He has to consider...
And I just yelled out something. Well, I'll play it to you. I yelled out. They were quite confused what I was talking about.
These are matters for
Barnaby. Who's doing the roofing, you blokes? Roofers. Balls getting burnt today.
What do you mean?
What? Grave error of judgment.
Well, today for a Mansfield man charged over a robbery at a Kedron hotel last week.
Well,
the 23-year-old's facing a string of charges, including armed robbery, attempted arson, and unlawful use of a motor vehicle. Police will allege three men entered the hotel on Gibby Road in the early hours of Fairbait, armed with a firearm. And
he didn't wear undies.
Donald Trump says they're committed
roofs,
to making schools safer in the states, but has steered clear of gun control. Speaking after the latest mass shooting at a Florida high school, the president says mental health needs to be the number one priority.
We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools
and
tackle the difficult issue of mental health.
The 19-year-old shooter has appeared briefly in court, charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder. He's been ordered to be held without bail. Union workers will be making a bit of noise outside Brisbane Domestic Airport this morning, protesting against federal court action to introduce split shifts across the country. They'll be rallying in the car park walkway from 10. Not expected to cause too much disruption.
See, I thought you were going to go down the road of chasing, because I would imagine that, you know, a number of people in the workplace might get some chafing if they're wearing inappropriate underwear.
There are some tradesmen with chubby thighs that rub together, and that's a real thing, and that's an issue poor ointment can sort out,
right? Okay.
Bloke. Yeah, okay. So these blokes, we then had a chat while we're having smoke on, and they said, what was that about the Sackburn thing? And I said, I told them the story, and they thought that was the greatest ever, because he wore footy shorts, this bloke, and they are wide in the legs, so the sun got up there. I'm calling it the worst workplace incident accident I've ever heard of.
Yeah, you know, how do you avoid that though? Barry, throw me the 50 plus, will you? Can you help me put on some sun cream?
No,
I just can't get around the back of my own bag.
Buddy, wear undies to work. You know, it's a prerequisite for everyone else who's working under you if you're a roofer.
I used to have a Sparky who didn't wear undies either, Robin, and you'd walk past the ladder and he'd ask you something on purpose and you'd have to, mate.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah, it's not cool. Okay, so what do you want to know? You want to know the strangest injuries you've copped at work?
Strangest workplace accidents injuries.
I mean, you can go a stapler to the hand. You can also do other kind of weird and wonderful injuries.
Standard injuries.
Doesn't have to be a sack-related injury.
No,
but it's
definitely
better if it
not. No, it's not.
A staple to the sack?
No.
Imagine that.
Chad, Fat Overton, what have you got?
Morning, guys. I had a mate of mine, furniture removal and stuff, a ladder, and he slipped and he was at the very top and he got his... shorts, jocks, and a touch of his ball sack caught on the very top of the ladder, and he got stuck, hung up there for about 2 minutes until some guys could get him out. But at that stage, his pants were completely ripped and everything was hanging out, showing everybody at the work.
Oh, he self-wedged.
A lot worse than that. He got stuck, had to get two guys up another ladder to help him off the top of it.
Was he screaming?
Wow. Yeah, he was very uncomfortable for at least another hour after that.
Oh, bet.
And that's the thing, if you injure that part of yourself around blokes, they don't have a lot of sympathy. It's just hilarious.
It's not hands on.
You've ripped your sack.
Thanks, Chad. Kath of Kuongba, what you got? I'm hoping it's not an injury that we've just been discussing. What happened?
I was sitting at my desk and all of a sudden I thought the sky was falling in. The air conditioning vent fell down and hit the side of my face and big cut on my right arm.
Wow. Oh. That is strange.
Yes, it is. It was. I didn't know what was happening.
Did you have to get stitches?
No. I had to go to the hospital because the instantly sort of headaches and they were a bit concerned about my eye socket. But, yeah, it was. And the thing is, I'm the OH&S officer for this.
I must review protocol.
Thanks, Kathy.
Sorry, Kath.
And no Paul sack. Off the sunny coast. What happened with a mate in a drill bit?
Oh, my God.
He was showing that he could get clean his nose out of snot with a drill bit. And so he did that. But it actually started working well, but then actually bit and it actually rolled up the skin either side of his nose into a big ball onto the bit, and had to go to hospital holding the drill bit underneath his chin.
Oh, God. Wow. Righto, there's a lot of questions here, Paul. What size bit, and was it just a standard speed steel bit?
No, it's actually a little auger bit.
Oh, God.
Well, no, that's not the question. The question is why? Why would you do that?
To be a legend?
Yeah.
Was it at Smoko or on company time?
Company time.
Oh, that's
to
terrible.
Be a legend.
So Australian. Anyone get a video? No.
No, right, Paul's gone. We've got Donna.
God, I'm glad he didn't have a urinary tract infection.
It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Getting to know Moon. Getting to know all about Moon.
Guys,
Moon Man, you're still new to Brisbane, so this is where we get to know you just a little bit better.
That's it. And I like to reveal parts of myself. Check this bit out. I am a procrastinator. Yes, I am a productive procrastinator. If I've got something to do, I'll find a whole lot of other things to do before that thing gets done. For example, preparing for a comedy festival show, you make sure that all the washing's done, the house will be vacuumed, all the dishes are clean, I will take stuff to the dry cleaners, I will wash my car, I'll do anything but the task at hand.
Hang on. So what do you mean that you need to write a comedy show, but rather than do that, you'll clean the house?
Yeah, so the important task, the one, the difficult thing that I need to do,
I'll put it off.
So I'll make a long to-do list, and I've always done that. Until about 3 or 4 years ago, I was at a birthday party and I ran into a hypnotist friend of mine, the Bizarre Gazzard, his name is. And he'd been a stand-up comedian. I said, "What are you doing, Rowan?" He goes, I'm into hypnotism now. I do hypnotist shows. I said, "Oh, right." And he goes, "And I also work as a hypnotist because, I do clinical hypnotism." I said, "So what do you hypnotise people for?"
Stop smoking sort of thing.
He said, "Yeah, mostly it's stopping smoking and weight loss." And I said, "Oh, right." I said, "I've got a real problem. I'm a procrastinator." And he said, "Well, come along and I'll hypnotise you and try and stop your procrastinating."
That worked.
It took me, and I'm not joking, it took me 7 months to get around to seeing him. But
so what did he, tell me what happened. So you walked in and then so what, he put you
I
under?
In, and he goes, "So first of all, let me ask you this. Are you skeptical?" And I said, "No, I'm really open to a whole lot of beliefs and ideals, so I'm right into it." And he goes, "Great, because basically you've made the decision anyway to change your own mind." Same with people who want to stop smoking or change their diet. He said, "And all I'm going to do is put you under and open your alpha brain waves. And they are the waves that are open first thing in the morning for all animals, including humans, where we're most creative and most alert. And then as the day goes on, they wear out. So you go to see your hypnotist first thing in the morning if possible." Anyway, he put me under. I just fell asleep. So I can't remember what he did to me.
Oh, was your belt still done up, fly up?
Right. Anyway.
I couldn't find my pants anywhere. So he then just makes a whole lot of suggestions, and he said, "I told you to find a space for yourself, and when you sit down to start writing, that nothing else can enter your mind." And it actually worked. It worked for years, but it is recently completely worn off, so I've got to go back for a hypnotist.
Does hypnotism wear off?
Well, the message probably gets a little bit lost. Maybe the alcohol might interfere with it, or other things going on in your brain. So I guess the message isn't completely locked in anymore.
What is his name? The Bizarre Gazzard.
The Bizarre Gazzard.
Does he go around Gazzard? I've done it with, I was at Yamba Bowls Club one Christmas with our family, and the cousins and stuff, and Martin St. James, which one's the son? Shane St. James, there's two of them.
Yeah.
It was advertised. We were along to the bolo that night,
there he was. Yeah, the shows.
And they pushed me up, and he asked me the same thing. Are you skeptical? I said, "No, I'm always open to open to any suggestions." I could remember I was pretending to be Mick Jagger. He made me bark like a dog. It was
and
all these
things. And you did it.
I knew I was doing it. I couldn't stop myself.
Wow. Mardo, I'm surprised.
And, the Bizarre Gazzard does stage shows too where, people become chickens or they think they're James Bond or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Laying a square egg. I was a chicken and he made me lay a square egg and you could feel the pain in your backside. Making those noises
on
stage.
I would pay to see that.
Getting to know the moon. Getting to know all about the moon.
Yes, we have been trying to get to know our new colleague, Lawrence Moonman Mooney. And Mooney, you were saying that you have been hypnotised to try and make you work harder.
Yes, to stop me procrastinating, Robin. I'm an excellent procrastinator.
Well, I need to ask you, because aren't you just about to kick into the Adelaide Festival, then the Brisbane Festival, and Sydney and Melbourne? Have you actually written that show yet?
I did the show at the Melbourne Fringe Festival at the end of last year and thought, well, I've done two nights and put it away until very recently. Tonight in Adelaide, it will be improvised because I have wasted the summer.
So you're saying the hypnotism...
By the time it gets to Brisbane, it'll be a great show, but I'm serving up a pile of steaming stamp to the people of Adelaide tonight.
So you're back procrastinating and not actually writing, you're back cleaning.
That's right. I've my house is immaculate, the car is polished. I'm procrastinating again, so I need to get re-hypnotised.
Yes.
So we want to know what happened when you were hypnotised, Drew of Yeronga. Did it work?
No, not for me. Many years ago, Martin St. James, the same as Marto, sort of flew into our bank and sort of gave tickets to all the Johnnies. And so we went that night and had a few sherbets. He invited about 20 people up on stage, of which I was one. And I went through the hoops doing what he was saying, you know, cluck like a chicken, pretend you're Madonna, blah, blah, blah. And it got to the end and it was something similar to like dance like Mick Jagger. And he gave me the microphone to sing Satisfaction or something. And by that stage, it was down about two people. And I just looked at him in the eye and then said in the microphone, this is absolute bullshit. There was steam just came out of his ears. His eyes bugged out. This is the old Empire Theatre in Toowoomba. Before I knew what was happening, basically there was a bouncer pushing me out a backstage door and I was in the alley behind the Empire Theatre.
Oh, what a great story. Thank you, Drew. Kevin of Macleay Island, what happened when you got hypnotised? Did it work?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I used to be a chronic alcoholic and haven't dropped a drink in 8 years. So it definitely worked for me.
You walked into a hypnotist in Brizzy here somewhere?
Yeah, in Brizzy, yep.
And walked out not drinking or smoking?
Yep, that's correct. Yep, one session. Obviously, you got to want to do it, but definitely worked for me. Haven't touched a drop of alcohol or smoked cigarettes since.
Can I just check, how much were you drinking and smoking before that?
A lot. I was a full-blown alcoholic. I'd drink a box of beer a day and spirits and over a pack of cigarettes a day. So, yeah.
Right. Whoa. Jeez, you've made everyone feel good, Kev. Thanks, mate.
One session, Kev. That is incredible.
I went cold turkey. But that was 8 years ago, Moon. It's still working for him. I'm just saying.
There's something wrong with your brain.
Maybe my will to procrastinate is stronger than Kev's will to drink.
Matt.
Jeez, you'd save some money. No carton and no ciggies a day. What's that, 40?
A lot. Jeez,
that's 80. That's thousands.
There you go. Wow. Matt of Park Ridge, you got hypnotised on a cruise.
Yeah, on a cruise, I didn't really believe it, but it happened. He got me doing Ring of Fire, and he said every time he plays Ring of Fire, I was to go on the floor and pretend I'm in a creek to cool my bottom down.
Oh, like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, with Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, It did work.
Okay,
afterwards, I was the worst I've ever felt in my life, like really, really fatigued and tired. So I must have gone right under. So
How do you go with Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire these days? Does it bring back some bad memories?
It brings back memories, and the friends that were on the cruise with us always bring it up as well. So, yeah.
I hope you're not driving, Matt, because here we go.
Believe it or not, I'm on the floor at the moment painting skirting. So.
So it wasn't a long drop. Good on you, Matt. 18 past 8 on Brisbane's Triple M.
In Brisbane, it's going to be another hot and sticky and steamy one. What, the third night in the row? It's about 26 overnight. But I've just been Googling to see which state schools still don't have air conditioning. And, you know, most of them are in Ipswich. Redbank Plains State School, no aircon.
It's hot out there.
Man, it is stinking.
Channel 9 did a report from one of those schools right near the Wacol jail, the jail out there, all right? And they said, and these kids have had to put up with temperature over 40 degrees. And they went, and just over there, prisoners sit in air-conditioned comfort.
Well, you don't want prisoners getting hot. They get angry, and
no,
they
don't.
Are criminals. They'll cut up rough. And I'm g'day to the boys and girls inside that listen to us, because we've got a
I'm
big
saying how good's
on
jail.
Inside.
How oh, good awesome. Is jail, though?
What do you mean, how okay. good
free,
is jail?
Free gym membership, Robin.
Oh,
free yep, gym. Free gym membership. You don't have to use Grindr.
well,
three the, square meals a day.
Yeah.
That's right, free.
And air conditioning.
Yeah.
They've
yeah,
said it costs $100,000 a year. Yeah, they're clothes, yeah, and probably someone washes them.
What?
Someone teaches you how to make a knife out of a toothbrush.
And
that sharpen other. The end of it.
Did you see the other one? Hold on, Robin. One other. You could go to uni from jail. Luke Boner had it on our overnight show the other morning.
Yeah, and they don't you pay do hex, do
don't pay hex.
What?
What a dream.
Okay, no. Just let me get clear
that's,
about
that's
this.
Important. How good is jail? It's
How
good.
How good is it?
I think that most men are fascinated jail? With the idea of jail.
You're
if we
serious,
could remove
aren't
a couple
you?
Of elements. Oh.
Yeah.
So free.
Oh, the fact that you have no freedom, the fact that you can't see your family, the fact sometimes that there are really oh. scary people that could potentially bash the absolute
I heard they
out
get
of you.
They get Foxtel. I've heard they get oh. Foxtel. I'm not sure on that one.
I'm How pretty sure they do. That? They get cable, Netflix, Stan, yeah. Stan. Movie night.
No, I don't know about you know, Netflix.
What?
I don't know about those.
What you were saying,
not
Robin.
Watching The Crown?
What you were saying then as a deterrent is you don't get to see your family. And there's scary people that could kill you. Well, that's a bonus for me because there's scary people that can kill you on the outside, but you do have to see your family.
I don't think anyone is going to agree with you two that jail is a better option in the height of summer
All
in
right.
Brisbane.
Have you seen Porridge? All right. It looks fun.
Well, let's do this.
It's a big breakfast can of worms.
What about this?
Got to tell you, really coming around, how good is jail?
No.
Is
the that's not even
Paddington
a statement.
Paddington 2 is awesome.
They don't take tax out of your pay, sure.
You don't get paid.
$4
Here's
a day
the
and a packet
thing.
Of durries. How no tax.
Good you can't smoke anymore, is, so it's just $4 a day.
That's right. It's a free give up smoking.
Sounding good. The statement is, how good is jail?
If you've actually been to jail and you think it's not that good, sure, give us a ring.
Yeah, sure.
Free university degrees or and TAFE, whatever you want to do.
Anyway, I'm not going to argue with you anymore because I have plenty of other people to do that. Eddie of Mango Hill, what do you reckon?
Well, the food's not good at all and you only get, like, you know, rabbit food or whatever for lunch. But the best thing about it's probably there's no Facebook and everybody in there is real, you know, where you stand with everyone. Like out here, it's all a bit fake, but it's not a fun place to be. And not it's not air-con, it's not all air-con, only some
oh,
of it
is. Oh, isn't it?
Nah.
Do you get Foxtel in there?
No, you don't. They.
Oh.
No, you don't.
Eddie, you are speaking from personal experience, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, how long did you spend inside? Can you tell us?
Only 4 months.
Okay.
Was it dangerous, Eddie?
Yeah.
How dangerous?
Does everyone get bashed, Eddie, or do you?
You don't get bashed. Like, if you got to, like, if someone has a problem or if you've ever done anything wrong, like, it will definitely catch up to you in there. You know, it's all about having manners and, you know, like, that's it.
Respect.
Well, respect.
It's good to have manners. Yeah.
Okay.
Eddie from Mango
okay.
Hill,
well,
part of the
only,
Mango
that's
Hill
only
mob.
Eddie.
Okay, Amanda of Goodna.
That's only Eddie. Yeah.
What do you think?
Morning, guys. I just want to say, look, I work in the financial sector and I see pensioners come in, like, they do it tough. And these guys in prison, like they reoffend, they, just so they can go back. And, I mean, I live in Goodna, hello. Look at the crime that's here. It's just, I mean, they don't care. And they just want to go back and live the good life.
So maybe, so jail's not a deterrent, Amanda?
No, I don't feel it is. I mean, they come out here and they find out, oh, shit, it's hard to live out here. Sorry, guys. They find it's hard to live out here.
Okay.
I like my financial advisors to say that word occasionally.
Okay.
Your accounts are looking really shit. Craig from Burpengary. Hi, Craig.
There you go, mate.
What do you know? Have you been inside jail? We haven't actually been in there. We've visited the watch house, but not the
mate,
big house.
Yeah, I've done a few leggings.
Is it a good place to be?
No. The aircon's hopeless, mate. It's not what everybody make out to be, mate. It's not a comfortable place at all. The best part about it, I reckon, is that you can do a number two and watch TV at the same time.
That is your selling point for jail, Craig?
Hell
is that it?
That's about it.
That's it.
Craig, you have made jail sound awesome.
100%. How good's jail, Brisbane's Triple M?
And on a sad note, yesterday, America's obsession with gun ownership resulted in yet another mass shooting at a school in Florida where 17 people were killed by a crazed 19-year-old man who decided to end a bunch of people's lives. And after the outpouring of the shock and then the grief and the sadness and the inevitable calls for changes in America, there's always amazing statistics that come along with these things too.
Yeah.
Yesterday marked the 18th school shooting in the US this year. It was the ninth.
Stop. As in this year, as in 2018.
School shooting.
We're in the second month.
And it's only February.
That's they obviously don't report that. Some of them don't make their way to Australia. This is the first one.
So a school shooting can involve anyone shot in a school. So from one up, a mass shooting is 3+. And so this is the ninth largest massacre in the history of America. But this is the stat that really grabbed me and makes it just seems so senseless. Since 1970, 1.5 million Americans have been killed in shootings, any form of gun violence. That means shot by a gun, basically. 1.5 million since 1970. That's more than all of the American wars since the War of Independence, which was 1774 or 5. Anyway.
So when they fought at war.
1.4 million have been killed in all of the wars. And 1.5 have been killed just by gun violence in America. So they've killed more of themselves than any of the wars. You know, World War II, 405,000. The Civil War, 498,000. It's just insane. But it still looks like it's never going to change.
They're not getting any smarter. Do you remember Obama? He tried to have a couple of goes at changing gun laws, but he just there's not enough power. And then Trump came out yesterday and mouthed the same words that we see every couple of months, every time there's one of these mass shootings. Didn't say anything about gun control. All he said sort of stuff.
I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone and you never will be. You have people who care about you, who love you, and who will do anything at all to protect you.
Except...
So he's talking bollards and more police in schools. He's not talking about...
changing the law. Now, here's the thing that in Australia I think most of us really struggle with, because their Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. And the problem is that most of us are going, hey, dudes, change that Second Amendment and you might get yourselves out of all these issues. But doing a bit of history lesson, and I was an exchange student in America when I was 16, so I had to learn this stuff. America was colonized by the English, by Christopher Columbus back in 1488, right? Yeah. By 1770, there were 13 British colonies within what we now know as the United States of America. They didn't have an army and they wanted to get rid of the British. The only way that these new Americans could do that was to form militia and fight for themselves. Yeah. They managed to defeat the British and send them back to the UK.
What year did you say again?
1776.
Oh.
So then when they actually put their amendments together in 1787, it was imperative that they said that people had to have weaponry until they formed an army. So therefore, the Second Amendment became the right to bear arms.
And back in the 1770s, of course, if you wanted to shoot someone, you had to put some gunpowder in a gun, a ball bearing, you had to stuff it down, you had to cock it and fire it. You couldn't fire 100 rounds in a second. It's just irrelevant, the Second Amendment now. And
it must be so embarrassing to intelligent Americans that it's still going on.
Oh, yeah. Because not all Americans are gun-obsessed and not everyone owns a gun. You got to sit back and applaud John Howard, 1996, was it?
96.
Because we have changed as a nation. Yeah. We're an example for the world, I think.
104.5, it is Triple M's Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, top of 34, partly cloudy. This man once sold out the Hollywood Bowl simply by reading an issue of Woman's Day on stage.
He's our man with all the Hollywood goss. It's Bobby Shrieve Man.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hello, Marto. Hello, Moonman. Hello to you, Robbo, and you, Brendo, you cheeky little chicken.
Where are you, Shriekman? Shriekman, where are you, sir?
I am high in the Hollywood Hills in my mansion looking over the Story Bridge. I can see you, Brisbane. I know what you're doing, and I love your height for higher edge. Ooh, give me an extra couple of inches.
So, Bobby, let's talk about Kylie. Kylie Minogue, 30 years since Ooh. I Should Be So Lucky came out.
Oh, the little budgerigar. Don't we just love her in Australia? She started on Neighbours and made her way to the UK and then Stock Aitken Waterman started writing songs for her. I Should Be So Lucky, 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 Lucky. I Should Be So Lucky in Love, which she never has been. Of course, she got dumped by Jace and then Olivia Martinez. She's as lonely as an old spinster. Good on you, Kylie.
Oh. Hey, listen, talking about some old girls, Spice Girls. They're having a reunion.
Oh, I love the Spice Girls. I can't wait to see the reunion. If you want to be my lover, you've got to get with my friends. Oh, saucy, a little bit fruity. They have changed their names, though. Baby Spice is now Single Mother Spice. Sporty Spice is Not So Sporty Spice. Scary is Large Spice. Posh is, who cares about you? And Ginger is a bit silver downstairs, if you know what I mean.
So, Bobby.
I tell you what, the rug doesn't match the drapes anymore, Dale.
I don't know what you're talking about. Have you been watching The Jungle Show? I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Oh, please, let them all die. Eat some maggots, Josh Gibson. I mean, please fall into a ravine, Fiona. The Jungle Show. Snore. I want to see a baboon go in and rip somebody's head off. Had enough. Another reality TV.
Hey, Shriekman, we were talking about jail a little bit earlier in our show. Have you ever been to jail?
Oh, I've been inside a few times, but the charges never stuck. I'd love to go to jail. Exercising, the food, the uniforms, you can do a whole lot of dance routines as well. I'm getting shivved in the exercise yard.
Righto, Bobby.
All right, bye now. Love you.
He's our man with all the Hollywood girls. It's Bobby Shriekman.